Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. We're so blessed that you're joining us today. My guest today is David Heeren. Now, David was on our program back in July of 2021, and if you missed his great interview then, you can go to our archives and search for episode 942 and 943. David has a life history of logical study of statistics. Now, I remember taking statistics in college class, and I was just glad that class was over. Okay, to make a lifelong study out of it. Oh, my hat's off to you, David. In fact, he is a statistician that created the system that's still being used today in the rating and ranking of basketball players and teams. And he created this way back in 1961 while working for the New York Knicks. And it's still in use today. He knows numbers. He knows facts. He knows how to put them together to develop logical programs that can really tell a story. Well, he spent the last 16 years studying the Bible and other references, and he has written a book titled End Time Living, Despite Conflict and Hardship, All Is Well. Now, David says there is evidence indicating that we have entered the early phase of the end of days, yet he remains optimistic. His book, End Time Living, Despite Conflict and Hardship, All Is Well, defines a Christian lifestyle that will produce fulfillment and joy, even under the prophesied duress of the end times. David shares that no matter what believers must endure during the tribulation, and no matter how bad things are going to get, those who stand firm for Jesus until the end will be blessed. Amen. Help me welcome back to the program, David Heeren. David, thank you for taking the time to come back and tell us all about your new book.
Well, thank you for having me, Pastor Robert.
Amen.
Really, the other one, the high sign, is about what to expect, you know, the sign of Jesus' return and all the things that will go with it. This end time living is about how to react, what
Praise
we need
God.
To be doing, thinking, praying, how we need to be living, and how we need to be not afraid.
Amen.
I think that's one of the biggest ones. I know some Christians that have fled to some false doctrine just to say, well, I'm not going to be in this tribulation thing. Well, they don't know that, but
exactly.
You know, nobody can know that.
Yep.
But
exactly.
The point is,
I'm the same way.
I
just want to say, I'm the same way. You know, with everything going on, I'll talk. You know, my kids or friends or whoever, they're talking about, man, things are getting bad, and all. I say, yeah, isn't it great? Like, great. How can you say great? I said, because Jesus said this is what's going to happen just before he gets back. I mean, we're closer than ever. I mean, this is great. You know. And they think I need to see a psychiatrist, but but that's the way I look at it. Like, yeah, it's bad, and it's going to get worse, and isn't it great? I mean, that's just my outlook on it. But go ahead. Didn't mean to cut you off.
Well, in relation to that, I was just talking to somebody on the phone, and just similar conversation, but Jesus has made some astonishing promises. First of all, he said he was going to shorten the tribulation. Mm-hmm. Revelation indicates it's only going to be about 3.5 years, 3.5 bad years. But then Jesus shortens it. Mm-hmm. And I think that has to do with the sign of his return. As we discussed that, if it is a comet would certainly have the impact of flip-flopping things. Yep. And Jesus said that in the latter portion, he didn't specifically say of the end time, but he's talking about the end time in his sermon. That, this is in the Old Testament to begin with. And then Jesus said some similar things. He said, the traitors will be betrayed. The terrorists will be terrorized. The destroyers will be destroyed. What more perfect justice can you have than that?
Yeah.
I mean, even though we're going to have it hard, and when we look at Jesus on the cross, I mean, don't we deserve to have it hard? Look how much he suffered for us.
Amen.
So he can say, and we can believe, and he did say it in his first Sermon on the Mount, that those of us who are suffering for his sake will be blessed. It's in the Beatitudes. The last two Beatitudes are about the blessings of suffering. Now, that doesn't make sense. But he knew what he was saying, because there is a great blessing underlying it, even though the suffering itself is not fun when you're going through it.
Right, right. Yeah, we talked about our military days just before we started the recording. And, training sucked, to put it mildly, right? But you were doing it because you knew what was on the other side, which is you were learning your job. You knew what to do under duress. And it built your confidence knowing that, hey, I've been through this. I already know I can do it. And like we used to have a saying in the cavalry, we train in combat conditions so that in combat, we're already familiar with the conditions. And that's just the way it is. And I think if a believer is reading the Bible with an open mind and trying to understand exactly what it is Jesus is trying to communicate about the last days, I mean, that's why I say I see prophecy being fulfilled every night on the evening news. I mean, and it's amazing. Jesus said, prophets of old desire to see what you're seeing, and they couldn't, but you can. And that should give us an excitement that, if that's true, then the last part is true too, where we're going to be when it's all wrapped up. And I agree. I mean, there could be no doubt in the mind of any true spirit-filled Christian believer that we are living in the end days. And in your studies of scripture, what are some of the events, just to recap from our last interview, what are some of the events that we're witnessing now and how you relate them to what the Bible calls the end of days?
Well, I think one of the big ones is if we watch TV, and I can think of two of them, I'm not going to name them, but Jesus said there's going to be false prophecies, or false prophets. Do not be taken in by them. Well, I can think of one who was on TV for a long time, and every year he was predicting the return of Jesus. Well, I stopped watching after the first year. I mean, he was a false prophet. One, and you're false. Gene Dixon had one right, but then a bunch wrong. And then there was another gentleman who came along, and a very popular TV evangelist, and he wrote a book about the end time and about the sign of Jesus' return. And he identified it as a lunar eclipse, but he hedged his bets by saying, well, it's one of these four. Of course, it wasn't. But the point being, this, I think, is one of the big evidences right among us. We're hearing from false prophets right in Christendom. And Jesus said it, as if he's talking to the Christians, his followers then and us now.
Amen.
And to watch out for this. That's one of the evidences. You don't hear a lot of false prophecy going on. I mean, I'm sure there were some in the past, but I mean, 30 years in a row and people are still watching. I mean, Jesus has got to be up there going like this. But that's one thing. There are physical things going on that can happen anytime. Although I do think that there's probably more earthquakes and that kind of thing now than usual. Mm-hmm. And there's a pestilence. We know about the pestilence. It's spelled COVID. And even though there's issues involving that, it's definitely killing people. And it's all over the world. When Jesus spoke, he was talking not just to you and me or the people in Israel or the Christians in the United States. He was talking in a universal sense. And we see these things affecting people all around the world now. There is, even now, there's a lot of persecution of Christians going on.
Oh, yeah.
There's evidence of it spreading westward.
Yep. Amen.
Anyway, as you just go up and down the list, you can see maybe it's not that it never happened before, but a lot of these things are more prominent than they were before.
Yeah, what I call it the convergence, because it used to, that's a sign. Oh, yeah, that's a sign. But now they're all happening like together. Just massive, the earthquakes, the volcanoes, the hurricanes, the droughts, the flooding, and just to name a few, they're all happening. It used to be, oh wow, that is so terrible that it happened. But it's like, yeah, well, we got our own problems over here with the fires. You know, you got flooding because you got too much water. We don't have any water, you know, type thing. They're all happening at the same time. But
yes,
but
they are.
I want to get on into your book because the foreword of your book, I found just the foreword was riveting. Amen. And it is spot on accurate as well. Could you summarize your foreword for our listeners?
You know, I don't remember what's in the foreword, but I can summarize. I'll tell you one thing that I really liked about this book. It focalized my attention on the Song of Songs from the Old Testament. And a lot of people kind of, even Christians kind of discard that. I don't even like that book. I don't see why it's even in the Bible. Well, when you recognize the fact that from early Christendom until just recently, it was almost universally believed that this was allegorical, mm-hmm. and that the king, yes, he was Solomon, but allegorically he was Jesus. And the bride, yes, was a Shulamite, but allegorically the bride of Christ is the church. Mm-hmm. And then when you read this, it is very beautiful. The fifth chapter, the bride, she can't find her husband, her spouse, and she goes looking for him in the middle of the night. Gets beat up really bad, and her friends, who really aren't until this time, come to her and say, "Well, look, you know, where, you know." They're kind of sarcastic. And she says, "May I read some of this? It's just a few paragraphs."
Yeah. Yeah.
And her response of discussing her beloved, which to us is Jesus, and we to him are part of the bride. "My lover is radiant and ruddy." This is the woman who's just been beat up, probably hospitalized. "Outstanding among 10,000. His head is pure as gold. His hair is wavy. His eyes are like doves. His hair is wavy, and black as a raven. His eyes are like doves by the water streams, washed in milk, mounted like jewels. His cheeks are like beds of spice, yielding perfume. His lips are like..." She just goes on and on and on, raving about this man who is really kind of, it looks like he just deserted her. He comes and then he disappears, and she goes looking for him, and she gets beat up. And instead of saying, "Well, where were you? She just has all of these expressions of nothing but love. And those friends, all of a sudden, they change. They say, "Well, can we help you look for him?" People, when they see sincere love, they are drawn.
Amen.
And when unbelievers, and I think these friends were unbelievers until this time, it affects them. They're drawn. And they even say they have a younger daughter or a younger sister. And the sister is in need of something. I forget what it is. And they said, "Well, can we help her? Can you help me help her?" It all of a sudden, this expression of love under these extreme bad circumstances, it really has an impact. And this is the way it is sometimes in right now in the communist world. Richard Wurmbrand had this story about the 12-year-old boy. His mother had been tortured to death in a prison camp. He brought a flower to the guy who had tortured her to death, gave it to him, and said, "This is my mother's birthday. I always give her a flower on her birthday, but I'm giving it to you because I know that she would want me to. She taught me to even love my enemies." And he walks out. The communist torturer breaks down. Mm-hmm. He winds up in prison. And oh, praise God, next to Richard Wurmbrand, who of course shares the gospel with him, showers more love on him. This is what Christianity is all about.
Amen. Yeah, amen. So true. And I want to get your opinion on a couple of things. I mean, you mentioned COVID. You know, what do you see as the relationship with the COVID outbreak and the end time scenario, like pestilences and all that?
Well, that's it. Jesus prophesied there would be pestilence. And he was talking about the universal church. And that's it right now. I can't remember. I know there's been a lot of worse diseases going around, but I can't remember one since maybe there was one when I was a kid. That was a long time ago. But this is universal.
Yeah.
Every nation in the world has been affected, like some people getting it. That makes it a pestilence.
Amen.
Even though it's dubious as to the source and to the reason, it definitely is a pestilence. And I'm a choir member. In our choir, we were down to half of our size last night for rehearsal because of COVID. There's a whole bunch of people have it, choir members, and a whole bunch of others say, well, I'm not going to go to rehearsal because I don't want to get it.
Yeah.
So it is definitely a bad thing.
Yeah. Amen.
But
amen.
From the scriptural point of view, it just fulfills that prophecy of Jesus about the pestilence.
Amen. What about the governments of the world instituting like mask mandates and requiring everyone to get vaccinated, not to mention their attempt to institute, you know, vaccine passports for travel and things like that? How does that relate to the end times?
Well, it relates to the efforts to socialize, that is, communize the entire world, put it all under a one world oppression system. And there is indication in Jesus's, what he said was, there is going to be persecution in the whole world. So they may succeed, but not for long, because he said he was going to shorten it. So it will be no longer than 3.5 years. And that isn't very long for, you know, even for the Soviet Union lasted longer than that. And then you're going to have this flip-flop where the persecutors, you know, all of a sudden, the ones who, I'll give you a good example. In communist nations and in the Nazi nations, wherever there has been a Stalin or a Hitler, as soon as they get in office, what do? They kill off all the people in the, I was a media person, I was a journalist. They kill off all the people in the media that supported them and got them in. Mm. And I know some of these people, and I haven't watched the network TV news show in 40 years because I know them. And they've kind of taken control. Not every news person is as bad, but the ones who are in league and have taken control of the situation. But they're not going to win. Sure. They as soon as they think they've won, they're going to get killed off.
Yeah,
because the prophecy says in the scripture, Old Testament actually, end time prophecy says the traitors will be betrayed. Well, people who are betraying their country into the hands of foreign oppressors, they're going to be betrayed, and they're going to wind up marching into the gas chambers or wherever it is.
Yeah, amen.
And that's what they deserve for destroying their country.
Yeah.
But it won't be destroyed because the destroyers will be destroyed, and then there will be. George Washington prophesied this, and an amazing prophecy, because everything he's prophesied in that prophecy has come true.
Oh,
he prophesied a restoration after this. And it's the same thing with Jesus said, I'm going to shorten it 3.5 years. So, you know, it's not like I've heard people say, well, this happened. It's all over. It's all over. No, it's not. It's only going to be a short, relatively short period of time. And then another period of time of balancing and judgment, and then the return of Christ, and we're with him in glory. And the opportunities to reach people are never going to be more greater than they are now.
Mm-hmm.
Zechariah, I think it was 13:9, prophesied that when Jesus returns, and the wording is, there's a definite wording in there indicating it's pointing toward his return, that when he returns, one third of the human beings on the face of the earth are going to go up with him. I mean, well, look around the world now, and it's probably less than 10% that are born again Christians.
Yep.
Even in the United States, it's gone from 50% to 25%.
Yep.
And some places don't even have a Christian. So the people who are going to get saved during this colossally evil circumstance, right under Satan's nose. I mean, that's the way the Lord does it. He's like, okay, I'm going to use you, Satan. You think you're great. Okay, I'm going to use you to save millions, maybe as many as a billion people. The numbers are incredible. Yeah. I know a lot of people are going to not make it through that, but it's going to be hundreds of millions of people are going to be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth under duress. And that often is when it happens. People get scared. And that's when they turn to the Lord a lot of times. I know three men have done that.
Yep. Amen. Amen. What are some future things that you're looking at that are beginning to take shape right now on the horizon that Jesus also referred to as happening in the end times?
Oh, okay. I thought we were already talking about that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we talk about the pestilence, we talk about the persecution, but what there's certain events that are taking shape right now.
You mean in the church?
It could be in the church. It could be just in the United States. It could be, you know, a world news type thing.
I think, and I'm not new on this. I mean, my own pastor preaches on this. There is a weakening of the church.
Oh yeah.
And God does not like that. He has not liked that from the beginning. If you read Revelation 3, the last church of the seven. It's a lukewarm church. Yep. And some of us believe that there is a dual prophecy there. It's literal for that time, but it's also progressive through history. So that would make the final church the lukewarm one. And we look around and boy, there's so much, you know, there's not a whole lot of zeal for the Lord in the church. And there should be. Yeah. I mean, this should be the most important thing in a Christian's life is the Lord. And then the next person, most important would be your spouse. And then on from there, your children. But the Lord, you don't even exist without him.
Exactly.
And we're in the greatest, even now, even though it's weakening, it's still the greatest nation in the world. We have, right now, we have it really good, even though on the horizon, we can see some very bad things. I don't know if this is really getting to your point, but that's basically what Jesus was saying. There are going to be some very bad things. And he sped in that sermon, Matthew 24, Luke 21. Most of it is not about the sign of Jesus' return. He was asked, well, what will be the sign of Jesus? Well, he did give about six or seven really strong details indicating that it will be a comet, including the falling stars. But the emphasis is elsewhere. I mean, it's a long sermon and there's only about three or four verses on that. But I would like to mention this one star. I just found out last week. I'm taking a little bit of a digression, but it's a good one. Just this last week, I said, well, what are falling stars anyway? You know, I guess there's stuff in the sky that you get the impression that they're falling. I looked it up, and the originals are in the constellation, or make an appearance in the constellation Perseus, and it is these streaks in the sky that look like falling stars, because from the distance, the little bitty lights look like stars, and what they really are is comet debris. And I thought, well, I had already concluded that a comet was going to be the sign of Jesus' return, and now this, whoa. Comet degree is falling stars. Yep. Some of the stuff in there is just amazing. I mean, the evidence is so overwhelming when you really start getting into it. You think you've really got it. And then there's a whole bunch more. Well, I haven't found a single one that contradicts that postulation. But I think God really wants us to know what's going to be going on in the end time.
Yeah. He said, I'm not saying this in a mystery. I'm saying plainly. Why don't you understand what I'm saying? Like he did to Nicodemus. But, you know, I know our main focus should be on evangelism and sharing the word with those who are lost and on their way to hell. I mean, if they persist in rejecting the word of God and the offer of salvation in, by, and through Christ Jesus, that is going to be their ultimate destination. But those efforts are also being thwarted of spreading the gospel by laws and human powers right now, really more than ever. What should we be prepared for as the time draws closer to wrapping up, you know, what's known as the Christian age, especially, you know, yes, this is a worldwide type of thing, but in the United States, you know, we haven't really been suffering the Christian persecution like, you know, in Muslim countries and in China and things like that, where, you know, they'll just pull you off the streets and chop off your head. But, you know, what should we be looking at that the future is holding for us?
I envision another Soviet Union. Only this one would be the whole world. And so just read up on Stalin. You know, Hitler killed 20 million. Well, Stalin killed probably 10 times that many if you count all of the countries that he dominated. It's really bad. And that is the thrust. The leadership in the United States right now, they say, well, if they're honest, they'll say, well, we're socialists. But they're not totally honest. Because there's only two kinds of socialism, by definition. There's Nazism. The Z in Nazism is socialisty. And then there's communism. Well, if you say the word Nazi to one of these socialists, they go, well, what does that leave? What are they? And where are we headed? It really is pretty obvious where we're headed. But it's only going to be temporary.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
It's not like, you know, Wormbrand spent 12 years suffering, you know, being tortured. Well, most of us would, I don't know if I would last one, but 12 years, but 3.5 doesn't sound like a whole lot compared to 12. It isn't. It really isn't. In terms of human history, 3.5 years is not that long.
Oh, yeah.
And Jesus even said, for the sake of the elect, for the sake of believers, I am going to shorten it.
Amen.
It's not going to get out of hand. I am going to shorten it. And he said, and I'll say this again, he said, don't be afraid. Don't even worry. He said, don't even worry. He said, yeah. Trust me, trust God. And I must say my pastor preaches a lot of that. And my wife, she was a real truster of God. Amen. And when you're around people like that, you know, it helps you to at least yeah, refocus a little bit.
Amen.
But it's going to be necessary to be prepared, I think, because this could happen all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah. Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time for today's portion of this great interview with David Herron. Now, I hope you're paying attention to what he's been saying, because this is information that needs to be out there today. He's speaking matter-of-factly. We're looking at current events taking place in the news right now, the lifestyles in the United States happening all around us. All these things are in biblical prophecy. And you need to get David's book, End Time Living Despite Conflict and Hardship, all as well. I mean, it just gives you that encouragement that, yes, tough times are here, and they're going to get worse. But all is well if you are a believer. Praise God. And order one or more copies of this book. Christmas time is here at the time of this being published. Order these books. Get the word out. Share it with gifts as gifts with your family and friends, because you never know. What you do with this book may bring someone to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Till next time, this is Pastor Bob reminding you again, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine
Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.